Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And elementary age children, if you'd like, you can meet your teachers in the back for your special program. Now, if I were to guess, probably one of the most popular and well-known Advent hymns is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. If you know that hymn, it kind of has the right tone for a song about longing, and yet in the midst of that, the chorus is Rejoice, Rejoice, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoicing in the midst of longing for God to come among us. That's Advent. It's actually, by the way, I say this regularly, so if you're new here, this may be the first time. That's why we have the Christmas trees, but we don't light them yet, because it's supposed to remind us it's here, but it's not right yet. That's Advent. Darkness and incompleteness, longing for Emmanuel, longing for God to be with us. In 1943, the German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer likened Advent to a prison cell. He writes, "One waits, hopes, does this and that or the other, things that are really of no consequence. The door is shut and can only be opened from the outside." That's Advent. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. The door is shut and it can only be opened from the outside. And we're in the dark. We're in this place of longing for it to be put right, but the only way forward is for God to come to us from the outside, to enter into our world and to put it right. And the promise of God is that he has come and that he will come again to put all things right. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel, O people of God. So as we continue in the season of Advent, the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, as we continue in this season, let's look together at this message of God coming to us, God coming among us. The message that we hear both in the Old Testament, in Zephaniah read today, as well as in our gospel reading today, among many other places in the Bible, God himself is coming among us in Jesus. 2,000 years ago, absolutely, when he took on human nature and became a human, and someday in the future when Jesus will return. God himself is coming to us, coming among us in Jesus. And so this morning I offer you two things that God coming among us means for us. Two things that we see in our readings about what his coming really means. Honestly, one is rather troubling, and one should fill us with overwhelming joy. But the more troubling one first, because without it, the other one doesn't really make much sense. So first, God with us means our sin is exposed. God with us means that our sin is exposed. In our reading from Luke 3, John the Baptist asks his listeners, after calling them snakes, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Repent, turn away from your sin. God sees your sin and your wrongdoing. Repent and turn to God." And he goes on to say about Jesus coming, he says, "But he who is mightier than I is coming. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." There's judgment coming. Our sin is known, it's exposed, so God coming to us involves dealing with and judging our sin. Our first reading today was from the book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah chapter 3. And throughout the book, it's a short book, but throughout Zephaniah, you kind of have this, this sort of pattern of judgment and hope and judgment and hope. And right at the beginning of the book, the very beginning of Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 2, it begins this way, "The Lord declares, I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth." Happy Advent. But God sees the wickedness of the world and even within God's own people, and he promises that he will come and bring judgment on sin. And so God coming to us, his promise all along is that he would come to us because our sin is exposed so that God can deal with it. Or think of the way from the very beginning of the Bible in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sin in Genesis chapter 3, they hide themselves from the presence of God. Because their sin is known and exposed, they're afraid to be in God's presence. Suddenly, being with God is troubling because their sin is exposed. So God with us becomes a scary thought. So no matter how good a relationship a child has with their parents, to hear the phrase, "We'll deal with this when your father gets home," or "we'll deal with this when mom gets home," is troubling. Suddenly, because of your wrongdoing, mom or dad coming is no longer pleasant. Now, parental discipline should never be done in anger and is always designed to restore relationships, not teaching that kid a lesson. But no matter how loving he is, because of our wrongdoing, dad coming means that our sin is exposed and is going to be dealt with. So as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, when God incarnate was born and came among us, part of what we need to do is remember why he came in the first place. As our liturgy says, he came to live and die as one of us to reconcile us to God. And the reason we needed all of that is because of our sin. So his coming to us means that our sin really is known and laid bare before God. Your sin and my sin is exposed. It's fully seen by God. So don't pretend it's not there. Acknowledge that God sees it, face up to it, and receive his forgiveness in Jesus. Ignoring our failings or pretending they're not really problems damages our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Think, for example, of an adult child who, say, is using drugs and won't admit they have a problem, and the estrangement that they can feel with their parents as a result. See, God sees all our shortcomings, all the ugliness that's hidden deep in our hearts, and his coming to us means that all of that has been brought to light. That's not fun, but that's the truth. All is known and seen by God. Now, we tend to not think about our sin that way because, well, of course, we're just so wonderful. But when the Bible speaks of God coming to us, we begin with the very real problem that his coming means that our sin is exposed. It's not hidden, but it's actually revealed in his light. So from the Garden of Eden, from the first human sin to Zephaniah to John the Baptist and everywhere in between, we see throughout the Bible, we see that God coming to us, God coming among us, actually means that he really does see and know our sin. We are not off the hook. God comes to deal with our sin precisely because it is exposed to him. So that's where we begin. God being with us means that our sin is exposed. But second, the good news. God with us means that even though that's true, God with us means that we can rejoice. We can rejoice in his presence. So Zephaniah 3:14, coming at the end of that book, which was read today. Zephaniah 3:14, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil." This is the promise of God, that there are judgments against us, and we need to face that, but God has taken them away. It says, "The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies." And so we can rejoice. And this is true joy. Knowing the first part of all this, that our sin is exposed and known fully, and knowing Jesus who takes away the judgment for our sin. God being in our midst, as verse 14 says, means that we can now rejoice because of the salvation that we have in Jesus. Judgment is taken away from us because God came to us in Jesus to take that judgment upon himself. And to understand that, to understand the message of the cross, to know that truth deep in our hearts, to know Jesus, God incarnate, who takes away our judgment and brings salvation so that we never again have to fear evil. That is cause to rejoice. But that is also why our wider culture never can really figure out how to celebrate Christmas. See, Disney World and Hallmark movies can stir our hearts to the magic of Christmas and can get emotional responses from us. There's nothing inherently wrong with the fun in that. But without knowing that God has come among us and dealt decisively with our sin in Jesus, then the joy of Christmas is not really joy at all, and it's actually quite empty. That's why our culture goes through Christmas again and again and so often feels that something is missing. The problem with our world's celebration of Christmas is that it can be summed up in probably what is the greatest holiday photo ever taken. I love that, by the way. Those are not my kids, so. We're supposed to experience joy because of the magic of Christmas, but all that the world has to offer is lights and presents and eggnog. And so we take photos like this with words like joy, and we feel like that. But when we hear the message of the Bible, that we can have true and lasting joy, when we actually face the sin that's in our hearts and our lives, and we realize that God's judgment against us and against our sin that should destroy us was actually meted out on Himself for us on the cross, then we can experience relief and welcome and joy in the Lord. And we can know Jesus Himself, who came among us in Christmas and who will come again and put all things right. We can know Him, the source of true joy and love. Because of Him, God with us means that we can rejoice, forgiven and freed from the judgment of our sin. So my question for you is not, do you have joy? Because if we're not careful, that's precisely where we can go wrong, sort of pushing for and pursuing forced joy like in the photo, which is really all our world has to offer without Jesus. But my question is, do you know that your sin is exposed, is seen by God? Do you know that your sin is exposed and that God came among us because He knows your sin? And do you know the Savior, Jesus Christ, who takes the judgment for our sin away from you upon Himself? On the cross, He received the full weight of the judgment of God for you. Do you know Him? Knowing Him and the salvation that He brings is the source of true joy. God with us means that our sin is exposed, but God in His mercy comes to us to deal with our sin and set us free. So now, because of Jesus, God with us means that we can truly rejoice in His goodness and love, and we need not fear. So when you take your Christmas photos, or when you see the decorations with words like joy and hope, remember that it is only because God sees your sin that in love, He dealt with it in Jesus. God incarnate, God with us. That is the only true reason for joy. And that joy is forever in Jesus. So while we are still in this time of longing and waiting for Christmas Day, but also for Jesus' return at the culmination of all things, we still sing that hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That's us. But in Jesus, the day will come when our song will be joy to the world, the Lord is come. God knows our sin. And yet, because of Jesus coming among us, when we receive Him in faith, our sin is forgiven, and we can have true joy in the Lord. See, God among us means that our sin really is exposed. It's known. And God coming among us in Jesus means that sin is dealt with and that we can have joy in Him. Let's pray using the prayer that was already prayed today, the prayer for the day. O Lord Jesus Christ, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient towards the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found a people acceptable in your sight and filled with your joy. For with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen.